Hey, very good morning to you. Hoping you're staying safe and well, and maybe you've had a chance to enjoy some of the sunshine that's returned this week. For anybody watching who doesn't know me, my name is Alex. I'm the vicar in the parish of Norwood Burr Heath, and it's great to see you this morning, albeit virtually. Today, we find ourselves on the third part of our four-part mini-series on the Book of Jeremiah, where each week we're thinking in different ways about how to be people who are used by God. During our first session, Simon Parnell preached for us from Jeremiah chapter 1 on the theme, Make No Excuses. Jeremiah had become so focused on his personal inadequacies that he made excuses not to do what God was calling him to, rather than looking beyond himself to find strength from God to answer his call. Last week, I spoke from Jeremiah chapters 8 and 9 on the theme of letting our hearts be broken by the things which break the heart of God. Recognizing the urgency of the hour and the call to reach out to those around us with the love of Jesus, which helps to transform broken lives. This week, we are moving on to Jeremiah chapter 20, and the theme is rising above discouragement. You may wish to pause me for a moment now and find your Bible or find the reading on the screen. It's Jeremiah 20, reading from the New International Version of the Bible. Section 1, Jeremiah and Pashur. When the priest Pashur, son of Immer, the official in charge of the temple of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in the stocks at the upper gate of Benjamin at the Lord's temple. The next day, when Pashur released him from the stocks, Jeremiah said to him, The Lord's name for you is not Pashur, but terror on every side. For this is what the Lord says, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends. With your own eyes, you will see them fall by the sword by their enemies. I will give all Judah into the hands of the king of Babylon, who will carry them away to Babylon or put them to the sword. I will deliver all the wealth of this city into the hands of their enemies, all its products, all its valuables, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah. They will take it away as plunder and carry it off to Babylon, and you, Pashur, and all who live in your house will go into exile to Babylon. There you will die and be buried, you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies. Jeremiah's complaint. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word in my heart is like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side, denounce him, let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me, like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonour will never be forgotten. Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him glad, saying, A child is born to you, a son. May that man be like the towns the Lord overthrew without pity. May he hear wailing in the morning, a battle cry at noon. For he did not kill me in the womb, with my mother as my grave, her womb enlarged forever. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow, and to end my days in shame? So it's a challenging text this morning. Let's pray as we continue. Loving Lord, we thank you for the book of Jeremiah and for the lessons we're learning from it about following the calls you place on our lives faithfully. Thank you for the example set by your followers in the Bible and their authenticity and how the struggles they faced help us to know how to face the struggles we go through today. We pray that you'll help us to learn what you have for us this morning and that we will be motivated to apply it to our lives. Amen. I wonder if you can remember a time when you have felt you have really failed at something. I'm pretty sure all of us have. And I wonder, how did you deal with it? If you're at home with others, you might want to pause me for a moment and have a chat with them about those two questions. If you're at home by yourself, pause me and have a think to yourself. Can you remember a time where you felt like you've really failed at something? And how did you deal with this? Welcome back. So often failure or our sense of it has a byproduct of discouragement. Not getting the job we hoped, a failed relationship, all sorts of other things. We feel discouraged and it hurts. Those of us in leadership roles also have to deal with the failures which others perceive in us or our work. That sense of having worked really hard, hard as we possibly could, but still not meeting the mark in someone's eyes in one way or another. An inevitability perhaps of the role, but painful too. So whether a failure is our own or a perceived failure of someone else's, discouragement is a part of life. All of us face it, and discouragement eats a hole in our hearts in a way that few other things do. I'm sure some of what I'm saying may be resonating with you. And if it does, then this message from Jeremiah's passage is very useful. Jeremiah was under serious persecution. He was suffering greatly. And it wasn't because that is what life is like, although it is sometimes, but it was specifically because he had been faithful and had done what God had told him to. Because of his obedience to God, Jeremiah was humiliated publicly, he was beaten, and he suffered greatly. And exhausted in his anguish and confusion, we hear his long lament beginning, "You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me." A quote from WordPress, Daily Reading Through the Bible, written in 2015, says, "Jeremiah had a difficult life, as his messages of repentance delivered at the temple were not well received. His hometown plotted against him, and he endured much persecution. Though the book does not reveal the time or the place of Jeremiah's death, he probably died in Egypt, where he was taken by his countrymen against his will after the fall of Jerusalem by the Babylonians." Another writer, John Goldingay, adds this: "Jeremiah's book isn't arranged chronologically. As a whole, it makes clear that he was met with scorn, opposition, and hostility throughout, until the moment 40 years after his commission by Yahweh, and after Jerusalem's fall, when some of his compatriots take him to Egypt by force, never to be heard of again." Jeremiah knew rather a lot about discouragement. He knew a lot about having a sense of failure, his own and the perceived failures cast on him by others. Yet Jeremiah was a faithful servant of God and lived through his feelings and fulfilled God's will despite them. And we too can rise above discouragement like Jeremiah when we face it and fulfill God's call on our lives. And I have four ways in which we can do this. Firstly, we can be honest and tell God how we feel. Jeremiah was honest. He felt deceived by God. Israel were becoming an idolatrous nation. They were turning away from God who had redeemed and established them, and they were turning to other gods instead. God's judgment was coming to them, and God had sent Jeremiah to warn them to turn back to him. Jeremiah had spoken the words, word for word, that God had told him to speak. And yet, at the beginning of our Bible passage from today, in verses 1 to 2, we find that he's been beaten and abused and put into stocks. Now, I was reading a little bit about stocks in the week. Stocks were a form of torture and a form of public humiliation. As well as the enormous discomfort and pain from having limbs placed in them, people would walk by and shout abuse and spit on the person, or whip their feet, or throw things at them. So here we find Jeremiah at the pinnacle of humiliation, in the very place that God has sent him to preach, finding himself being publicly humiliated. So often failure in our lives is so much harder when we feel like we're responding to something God has spoken to us. It still stings if it's a failure of our own, but it stings all the greater if we feel we fail at something that God had led us to. But when we engage in God's work, we are stepping into a spiritual battle, not just one of the world. Jesus tells us in John chapter 16, when he's saying goodbye to the disciples and is about to go to the cross, that just as the world hated him, it will hate us too. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? Following God doesn't mean an easy life. It can often mean the very opposite. And it certainly did for Jeremiah. So what did Jeremiah do when he felt so discouraged? He was honest and he told God how he felt. Verse 7 again, "You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me." Now, obviously, God does not mislead or trick people, but Jeremiah felt that God had lured him into ministry only to make him a laughingstock. He felt ridiculed and offended. He felt his voice was not making a difference. He was crying out for the people to repent just as God had told him to. Yet they continued forward to destruction and judgment. And so Jeremiah laments privately with God. So another question for you, are you honest with God about exactly how you feel about everything? Are you honest with God about exactly how you feel about everything? This might sound a little bit unusual to some of us. Can we really tell God everything that's in our hearts, in all its ugliness and brokenness? Well, yes, we really can. God wants us to talk to him, even when we're angry, upset and frustrated. He wants us to tell the truth. It's an awful lot of dishonesty that goes on in relationships, even with God. But he wants to know how life truly is for us, and he is strong enough and big enough to handle all of our hurt and anger. He wants us to pour out our hearts to him and express everything that is in there. Do you remember Jesus pouring out his heart in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross? We can do the same. And by pouring out these emotions, we're freed from their hold and we enter more deeply into the loving embrace of the Lord. The truth is that God knows the depths of our hearts, our thoughts, our motives, our emotions, even before we speak them. So if we fail to be honest with him, we're only deceiving ourselves. We can be honest with God and tell him how we truly feel. Secondly, we need to stay obedient and keep doing what we've been called to do. We need to stay obedient and keep doing what we've been called to do. Because of Pasha's unjustified actions, Jeremiah was almost ready to let go of God and leave him out of the equation. But he found he couldn't do that because he couldn't be at peace doing anything other than that what God had called him to do, despite all of the hardship and suffering. God's message was like a fire in his bones, which he couldn't put out. He could not be quiet about it. In verse 9 it says, "But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." When we are called, and we are all called to minister for God in the world in different ways, he has a particular call on all of our lives. It comes first to the heart. It's a result of the continued drawing of God's Holy Spirit. It's a deep conviction within us, in our innermost being, and it marks us for life. When we're called, we are asked to obey. Even when things become challenging and painful, we are to stay obedient and keep doing what we've been called to do. so we can be honest with God about how we feel when we're discouraged. And we must cling to him and stay obedient to his call when we're discouraged. Thirdly, we are to be watchful and to remember that God is with us. We're to be watchful and to remember that God is with us. In verse 11, Jeremiah remembers that he isn't alone. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their honour will never be forgotten. Jeremiah realised that God was with him. He wasn't on the losing side. Jeremiah was going to win ultimately because God was with him like a mighty warrior. God would deal effectively in his own time and in his own way with Jeremiah's enemies. Often when we face discouragement, we look inward to our problems and our situation. And it helps us when we are able to look upward or outward to God, who has not abandoned us. God is with us. He accompanies us. Knowing God's presence can help us accomplish significant things despite our discouragement. Knowing God's presence provides us with courage, guts, strength, tenacity and perseverance. A.W. Tozer writes, "Living in the glow of God's presence will enable you to fight on despite discouragement." So we're to be watchful and remember that the Lord is with us. Finally, we are to be worshipful and to praise God with our whole hearts. To be worshipful and to praise God with our whole hearts. In verse 13, Jeremiah's despair is turned into joy. His defeated attitude is turned into triumph, his dismay to courage. And the key that unlocks the door to this victory was praising God. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. When we're really up against it, when we really experience suffering in our lives, obedience to God looks like praise. And if you look at verse 14, Jeremiah manages to praise God while still cursing the day he was born. He's in the midst of the worst suffering, which he fully acknowledges, and yet he still turns and praises God. When we worship and praise, we are reminded of who God is. It lifts our eyes above our difficulty and focuses them on him. It gives God the right to rule and reign in our lives in the way he sees fit. It acknowledges that God knows more about what he's doing than we do. When we worship and praise, we acknowledge that though we may not understand it, God has a plan. A few chapters later, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God's words to Israel are, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." When we worship and praise, it releases God's power to work in a situation. Prayer opens the door for God's power to work in our lives, and praise is the most important sort of prayer. God dwells, inhabits and resides in our praise. His power and presence is near when we praise him. We are to be worshipful and praise God with our whole hearts. Jeremiah's ministry lasted 40 years and was full of discouragements and suffering. Only two people are recorded as having listened to him and turned to the Lord in the whole book, which extends to 52 chapters. Throughout his life and ministry, Jeremiah felt discouraged and felt that he was failing. And yet look what happened ultimately because of God's work through Jeremiah's faithfulness. Today, we read the book of Jeremiah in our Bibles. He prophesied a kingdom and a Messiah that was far beyond the comprehension and imagination of most of the religious leaders of the time. He revealed the God of Israel to be the one who is bringing a hope and a future, who was both the God of the exile and the God of restoration. Jeremiah was no failure. Jeremiah was, in fact, a great success. I'm going to tell a quick story which may be helpful, and it's a kind of a legend or a fairy tale. Imagine that the devil put all of his work tools up for sale marking each for public inspection with its appropriate sale price. Included were items such as hatred, envy, jealousy, deceit, lying, and pride. Laid apart from these was a rather harmless-looking but very well-worn tool, discouragement, marked at an extremely high price. Why the costly price? The devil answered, "Because it is more useful to me than the others. I can pry open a person's heart with that when I cannot get near her with the other tools. Once inside, I can make her do whatever I choose. It is badly worn because I use it on almost everyone, since few people know that it belongs to me." It's just a little story, a made up one, but it is worth thinking about. What do we learn from Jeremiah chapter 20 about rising above discouragement? Firstly, we can be honest and tell God how we feel. He wants us to, and it is freeing and releasing and empowering when we do. We need to stay obedient and keep doing what we've been called to, even when it's hard. We need to be watchful and remember that the Lord is with us. And we need to be worshipful and to praise God with our whole hearts, even when it's hard to do so. Amen.